You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
My daily offering. Most loving Father, I thank you for the gift of this new day. Please help me to use it for your honor and glory. By your mercy, may all my thoughts, words, and actions be pleasing today in your sight. In your unfailing kindness, Lord Almighty, forgive my past failings. Preserve me this day without sin, and protect all your people from every evil. May the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of our Savior, keep us under her special protection. By her prayers and the aid of all your saints, kindly keep us ever intent on doing good today for your name's sake. These great blessings we ask in confidence through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Welcome to the Father's Quilt, brothers and sisters. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thank you so much. Luke chapter 18, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collectors were a hated group in Jesus' day. First, they were traitors. They collected money from their fellow Jews on behalf of the despised Roman government. And second, they weren't very nice about it at all. Tax collectors would charge extra to increase their own profit. If someone argued, the collectors could call in some thugs from the Roman army for some additional persuasion. Tax collectors would take things from people's houses and beat those who could not pay. All with the protection of Rome. Because of their collaboration with the Romans, tax collectors were naturally shunned from the religious life of Israel. Because of their entanglements with unclean Gentiles, tax collectors had no chance of following Jewish law. In the Gospels, we often find tax collectors lumped together with prostitutes. Together, these groups were the lowest of the low, rejected by society. As most people saw it, these sinners had given up any hope of a relationship with God. On the other hand, the Pharisees were a respected people in Jesus' day. They devoted their lives to keeping God's law. Pharisees sought God's favor as an eager student seeks a teacher's approval. They were the first to answer the tough religious questions, and they were always sure to let everyone know how well they knew God. Officially, their hope was to usher in the Messiah's arrival by making the nation righteous. And to do this, they added extra laws to God's laws. They wanted to build a hedge around the scriptural commands so that people wouldn't even come close to breaking them. But you know what? Humble hearts are heard in heaven. But Jesus did have a way of turning everything around. He told a simple story of two people going to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. And Jesus' listeners would wonder what a tax collector was doing anywhere close to the temple. The Pharisee belonged there, but the tax collector didn't. In Jesus' story, the Pharisee prays first, boasting about his religious achievements. He thanks God that he is not as sinful as others, like that tax collector standing nearby. But the tax collector had a completely different attitude. He was standing far off. The Pharisee had taken center stage, while the tax collector tried to melt into the scenery. And this humble sinner would not even look up toward heaven, as most people did in prayer. He beat his chest as a sign of despair and uttered this very basic prayer. Try to put yourself in the crowd of Jesus' listeners. Tax collectors have taken your money, but the Pharisees seem to be good people. And as you hear this tax collector in Jesus' story asking for mercy, your reaction might be, after all you've done, how dare you even ask for mercy? And then you hear the conclusion of the story. It was the tax collector who went home justified before God, not the Pharisee. Jesus shows us that God exalts the ultimate sinner who is humble while he humbles the proud. The Pharisee may have meant well, but somewhere along the way, their desire for a worldly status replaced their desire to serve God. With all the praise they received from others, they no longer saw themselves as sinners. Trying to live a good life is commendable. The problem comes when we forget that each of us has faults. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3. God can work with us only when we recognize the truth, this truth. Maybe you know someone who is cleanliness challenged. Such people might want to have a clean room, but they have a hard time seeing the dirt that's there and knowing what clean truly looks like. One apartment dweller might run a rag over a counter and say it's clean, but a roommate comes along and says it's still filthy. It's not a lack of desire. It's a lack of knowing and of practice, of taking the time to reflect and see the difference. The Pharisees were blind to the dirt in their souls. They needed God's mercy, but they didn't know enough to ask for it. The tax collector recognized his sin and his need for mercy, and so should we. My brothers and sisters, here's something from St. Francis of Assisi. Let us therefore desire nothing else, wish for nothing else, and let nothing please and delight us except our Creator and Redeemer and Savior, the only true God, who is full of good, who alone is good, and from whom and through whom and in whom is all mercy, all grace, all glory of all penitents and of the just, and of all the blessed rejoicing in heaven. For St. Francis, brothers and sisters, it's all and nothing. Not all or nothing. If we receive only God's gifts, we end up with all the joy heaven offers. When we surrender to the Lord, we get everything that matters. We give up things that don't last, and we receive things that do. You know what? It's not a bad trade, is it? Right? St. Thomas More, the things, good Lord, that we pray for, give us the grace to labor for. We can easily ask that God's will be done without wanting it to require any work from us. Yet, God finds ways to arouse our interest until we become thoroughly involved. Our prayers, yours and mine, mean the most when we're demonstrating their importance by our actions. Most would agree with the Apostle James that faith without corresponding actions has little value. Have you found it to be true in your own life? What is motivating you to help your neighbor at this moment? Ideally, you have already prayed for him or her and are now ready to reach out a loving, helping hand. You know, brothers and sisters, this is what we need to focus on, right? Focus on where? The inside, right? The truly life-changing prayer of complete surrender is to ask God not only to cleanse us from our sinful deeds, but also to purge the sinful thoughts of our hearts. For what we are doing on the outside is surely no larger a concern to God than what we are quickly becoming on the inside. When we surrender ourselves to God this way, He will transform our character. Then the world will see the Lord living in us despite the failures in our lives. Brothers and sisters, let's break the chain of guilt. Let's break the chain of thinking, oh, I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough. Let's get rid of that stuff, that evil stuff, that negative stuff that does not come from the Lord. If you truly believe in a risen Christ, and we say that God is all merciful and that He forgives our sins, we cannot go around after that, after we've laid it on the cross, we've thrown up our hands and our tears, and we've asked the Lord through our contrite heart and with pleading for mercy and saying, okay, you've pleaded for mercy, you've asked for God's forgiveness, God is listening, then be done with it. Do not walk around and punish yourself after that, continually harping on that guilt, reminding yourself, well, I'm not good enough. Well, I shouldn't have. Well. No, not well and no buts. Move forward, brothers and sisters. Move forward. Let the past be the past. It is the past. It's gone. It's like spilled milk. You cannot gather it up. It's over. Don't worry. Go forward. Take one day at a time. If we are all in the works of being transformed, brothers and sisters. We all want the Holy Spirit to come upon us and transform us and make us better Christians, better disciples, a person that Jesus would be pleased to look at us in the face. That's what we want. We have a beautiful model, our beautiful mother. We have Jesus, our model. We have the high priest, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when you ask for forgiveness, know that God has listened to it and accepted it. He's not going to say, well, you need to come to me at least another 100 times. But you know what, brothers and sisters? If you feel compelled to say it several times, many times, then do so if that's what your heart feels. But don't go around thinking that God hasn't heard your prayer. Don't think that God hasn't listened. And don't think that God hasn't forgiven you. He has. He has, brothers and sisters, He has. He has forgiven you. So don't put the guilt on yourself and walk around like some proud person that says, well, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Well, you know, and keep punishing yourself. Keep making yourself feel guilty. No, that's not it. Because then what you're doing, brothers and sisters, you're undermining God. You're actually putting God below yourself. And that is no way we should do that. If we trust with all our heart and all our might that God Almighty hears us, that God Almighty forgives us, then move on. Then walk as a forgiven person. Walk in the ways of the Lord. Let it go. You don't need to hold it on like a badge, like I earned this badge. Yeah, I'm guilty, so here's my guilty badge. I just walk around with it and I show everybody, yeah, No, no, no. Let it go. Give it to God. And just know that you are forgiven. And walk in a forgiving way, you know? Jesus wanted the crowd to understand that God had sent him. That's why he publicly raised Lazarus from the dead, performing a miracle with God's mighty power, working through him. When we witness the wonderful works of our Heavenly Father, it's only natural to want to show those wonders to others. In Jesus' case, he was validating his unique role as the Savior of humankind. As Christians, we walk a very fine line between wanting to share our love of God with others and not wanting to overwhelm them with our spirituality. Being a good witness means letting our joy-filled lives stand as the best proof of what God's love can do. Just as Jesus did when he raised Lazarus from the dead, it is best to show, not tell. When we walk in the light and let God work through us, we attract others to us, for they're going to want to know, brothers and sisters, what motivates us? What have you got? How come you're always so happy? Why are you so patient? Why are you so forgiving? Why are you with all these wonderful attributes? Why? Because you are now a disciple of God. You're a disciple, and you must walk the walk, brothers and sisters. If you're going to walk, if you're going to talk, then you have to try walking that talk. It's easy to preach and to tell someone else, well, you know, you should, well, you know, I used to, but it's very important to put your love of Christ into action. It's not enough to say, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I don't pray to him. I don't do any acts of mercy. I don't praise him. I don't thank him. I don't talk to him. But I love Jesus. No. You must walk the talk, right? You must walk the talk. So when we walk in the light and let God work through us, we attract others to us, especially those who are non-Catholic. And for the Catholic people as well, because they're, you know, maybe they're feeling down in the dump. You know, everybody gets like that, you know. Some people, I've heard that term, a backslider, right, where they've fallen off the wagon, the beautiful wagon of faith, right? On their journey, they've somehow fallen. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. But they're looking, and if you're in there and you claim you're a Catholic, well, show them you're a Catholic by how you shine your light. You are a light of Christ. You are a light, brothers and sisters. You all shine. So get out of the darkness. Shine your light proudly, boldly. Be joyful. Jesus says, rejoice, I say. Again, he says, again, I say, rejoice. That doesn't mean we come walk around with a frown. We're smiling, we're happy, because we have the risen Christ. We have the risen Christ in our life. Brothers and sisters, we are saved. We are going to go to heaven. We're going to see his beautiful face, see the Holy Family. Brothers and sisters, there is so much joy. Please, brothers and sisters, don't dwell on the negative. Don't dwell in the past. Live in the present and live that you know that your future is taken care of. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry, no matter what challenges come your way, even today or tomorrow, whatever may come. Know that Christ is right there. Jesus is right there with you. He won't let you go. He won't let you fall through the net. He has you in the palm of his hands, and he loves you and wants you to be with him. He wants you to open your heart to him. He wants you to tell him everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He wants it all, brothers and sisters. He's your best friend. He is your Father in heaven. Almighty God is our Father God. Then we will best be able to share the good news about Jesus, the Savior. Isn't that the truth, brothers and sisters? We all need cleansing. We all need to say the sinner's prayer. We need to say the act of contrition. As Francis of Assisi had reminded us, it's all and nothing. It's not all or nothing. It's all and nothing, right? So when you've been blessed with so many gifts, think about your blessings, right? The old 50s song or 40s song, count your blessings. I remember Bing Crosby saying that. Count your blessings. Count your blessings, right? But I think it was in the Christmas movie, right? Holiday Inn? Yeah, in Holiday Inn, and he sang, count your blessings. Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, now more than ever, count your blessings. Whether we have another lockdown or not, whether we're going to have enough Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, we will in time. But for now, brothers and sisters, what does the world ask you to do? The world says, stay home, watch TV, eat. If you can walk, do some exercise at home. And just stay and be careful. Wash your hands. And take care of your family and be joyful. There's nothing else we're supposed to worry about. And spend time with God. Spend time with the Lord. Maybe, like my little mission, it was to create an altar for my Blessed Mother here. And I have all these little angel ornaments and I have a beautiful statue of our Lady of Fatima, and the children are surrounding her, the three young children, and they're kneeling and they're praying and they're looking up at her as she's holding the rosary. Brothers and sisters, all the more reason why you should never worry after today. Today, let this be the last day that you have given enough energy and spent enough time crying and worrying and stressing out about things. Let this be the first day, of a new person, a new Mary, a new Jane, a new Susan, a new Christina, a new Paula. Let this be the day of a new Rosemary, a new John, a new Frank, a new Rocco, a new Giuseppe, a new day, a new day. Take it, brothers and sisters. God has given you a new day, and he's cleansed you. And if you go to him with a very contrite heart, he will wipe away those sins, and you can walk on the path towards Jesus. And he will not leave you nor forsake you. So brothers and sisters, I urge you that during this month of Lent, don't let your guard down. Try not to be aware of what's going on. And when temptation comes your way, because it will, right? It will. You know, just be aware of that temptation. But at that moment, say, Lord Jesus, just help me. Help me, Lord. Help me follow you. Let me be closer with you. I want you to guide me, Lord. I want you to tell me what your plan is for my life, right? Just do that, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, life will be very different. No matter what comes your way, and things do come our way, don't they? So, my brothers and sisters, I just want you to surrender your heart, you know? So here is a sweet little prayer. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. That is a true life-changing prayer, brothers and sisters, of complete surrender, to ask God not only to cleanse us from our sinfulness, but also to purge those sinful thoughts of our hearts, right? Because it matters what happens in the inside. So focus and stay on the path. And I'm very happy to be with you as always. I would like to share one last prayer, and it is by Saint Anne, and it's a blessing for your family, brothers and sisters, right? Whether your family is part of, whether they follow Jesus or not, we pray for them. And so this is a beautiful prayer for the family, and asking Saint Anne to help us. My family is the heart of my life. It is my little church. Saint Anne. Saint Anne, guard the members of my family against all physical and spiritual danger. You lived in the presence of your husband, Joachim, and your little daughter, Mary. Later, you welcomed your son-in-law, Saint Joseph, and above all, your beloved grandson, Jesus, our Savior. May your family inspire our families. May we remain united in a deep mutual love. If my family is broken by separation or divorce, remain for us the saint of tenderness and lead us to God. Saint Anne, you were a spouse, a mother, and a grandmother. Bless all the members of my family. Keep us faithful to the Lord. May we remain attentive to the needs of other families. Protect all families. Amen. Isn't that beautiful, brothers and sisters? Yeah, absolutely. So, my friends, as we are now getting right into the middle of Lent, my goodness gracious, it's. I tell you, for you, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, the days just and the weeks go by pretty fast. You get up in the morning, and even though it's the same thing, you have your coffee, you have your breakfast, and then you think, okay, there's laundry, okay, kitchen, maybe go for a walk. Yeah, but then it's the same thing, right? And then for me, it's like, it's a repetitive pattern, but somehow I manage, and all of a sudden, boom, it's lunchtime. Boom, it's time to make dinner, and then the day goes, you know. So make the most of it, brothers and sisters. Smile. Shine your light for Christ. If anything, you serve God, not serving yourself, not so self-serving. Even if you feel miserable, do it for the Lord, brothers and sisters. Do it for God. Do it for Him. Do it for our Blessed Mother. Smile and be patient, be honest, don't be so quick to anger, and show that patience and saying, you know, I have God on my side. Nothing can harm me, no matter, as it says in Scripture, I may be surrounded, but God has you. God bless each and every one of you, and thank you. Thanks so much for being with me today. God bless. Bye for now. I've got no